Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Never has Christian Fourier decided to call late night here.
Hey, how you doing?
Because I'm sitting here with Mike Reese and Christian Fourier. Real quick, just your first reactions from this first game, Christian.
The Patriots are going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, God.
The calls that I expect to get tomorrow, Patriots don't need Brady.
Them again. Lots of time. Inside the 20-yard line by Jacoby Myers, who's having himself a night.
They don't need Edelman or Gronk, who...
Myers has his second touchdown reception.
16, I think, is the worst number to have if you're a Patriot wide receiver. None of them ever make the team.
I don't have time to really think about what I have to prove to people who don't. I don't want to say they don't matter. That's what I'm trying to prove a point to. Not really to people who didn't give me the call.
Bill's going to have a hard time coming out in a bad mood after this game.
What? I'm sorry.
I think he'll be sure to remind him we can
better. We had a long way to go. There's a lot of things we need to do better.
Yeah, I disagree with you again, Christian.
Right now.
We're on an intergalactic stadium tour right now.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
So let me get this straight. We had a terrific preseason game last night. Exhibition game number one.
Best ever.
A blowout. You don't usually see blowouts like that in preseason because coaches sit there and say, oh, I can't do that. We got to take our guys off. We got 90 guys. Let's get the worst guys we can find. And Bill had the deepest guys off of his roster on there last night, and they were kicking the Lions' ass. So it's a total blowout. Everybody's happy today. All they loved everybody they saw. And you called Patrick Gilroy last night what? To say that Kyrie Irving still sucks? What was the conversation about?
We talked football. You can tell Gilroy is used to doing shows on his own because I thought you asked long questions. Holy cow. Guy would shut up.
No, I told you.
Fourier,
but I support. I told you, Fourier. We got to support each other.
You leave the Wolfpack and you go elsewhere and you're going to find it's worse. Right,
it's not like
it
Ken
here.
Laird, you know, doing a slot on like, you know, Pittsburgh.
Was it a Pittsburgh podcast or was it a radio show?
I think it was a radio show. He went on a radio show.
He's basically breaking it down.
Basically said the crafts are thieves. Yeah. You know,
yeah. Well, you talked about.
They're robbing banks on the side.
You know, just real quickly, the ratings. So we knew it was going to be high.
Big.
We knew they were going to kill it. So they actually had a 13.7 household rating, the highest local program rating of the week, and a 27 market share.
And a pregame did a 2.9.
And how about Patriots game day?
I'm only kidding.
5.5 household rating and a 13 market share.
So the ratings peaked at
Is that the postgame or the pregame Patriots game day?
Pregame.
Okay.
So it's like 7 to 7:30.
So it peaked at 8:15 last night with a 17.4 rating. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? This is a freaking preseason game.
It's football, man.
And you're getting a...
They did good in
Phoenix, Kyle Murray, first game.
Yeah. It's off. I mean, football is going to do its giant no matter where it is. Even if your team is bad, it's like, you know, now it's the Kyle Murray thing. In Oakland, right? Now it's Oakland. It's with all this.
Watching now.
Yeah, everybody's watching. So that's what football is.
So they did
is.
A 32 share. So basically one in every three people that were watching television last night were watching this Patriots game.
It's either that or Love Island. Have you watched Love Island yet?
Which one's Love Island?
By the way, have you seen the ratings on that show? They're awful.
Wait, what?
Love Island, the ratings are awful.
I don't care. It's a good show.
Terrible. Love Island.
I'm usually watching
Love and Hip Hop. There's Love and Hip Hop Hollywood now. So.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, so I'm on that one.
I've looked that one up. You're right over there. What do you got?
Can you believe that these are two former tight ends you're having a conversation
I'm looking,
with? Love and Hip Hop?
I'm looking at the text line.
The best conversation we had was like, How hard it used to be back in our day.
Yeah, way back in our day.
This is just like doing radio with Fred and Steve.
It is. Because I was telling Wiggy, I read this article. There's about the Jacksonville Jaguars when Tom Coughlin, first year, their inaugural season, franchise team, new franchise in Jacksonville, how they came up to, they used to call it the Cheese League, where a bunch of NFL teams used to go to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. All the colleges they had out there, they would have their training camps there. This is back when you would report, if you were a new team with a new head coach, you got to report a week early. Mm-hmm. And if you were in the Hall of Fame game, you got another extra week. So they reported July 10th.
Both the doubles had cheese.
July 10th, they reported.
Easy today. This is, who, this is easy.
Who, where did you start? Who was your head coach when you first
Dennis got Erickson.
Oh, okay. So he wasn't bad, was he?
No, I mean, he didn't. Yeah, he was. He didn't. I mean, he didn't know any better. He was right in the pros.
Mine was Parcells, so it was a little
bit. Yeah, see, I just, the fact that these guys, okay, we won't go down memory lane. All right, I won't do it. And I hate when you shame me for that. Only, that music is only for Glenn's
talk
old
about
ass.
The old days.
If you're going to play some music for me, it's got to be something from the 80s.
By the way, I'm looking at, Wiggy's filling in for Lou today, and I'm looking at the text line here, and a lot of people loving having Wiggy on the program. Other people are bitching because they're saying, is there any show that Wiggy doesn't do?
That's
so
true.
Like everywhere. W-E-E-I-G-G-Y. Yes. Yeah, that's what it's become.
He's on Greg Hill.
Right.
Dale and Keith.
Yeah.
With us.
This show. Yep.
He's
weekends on Sundays.
Wiggy and I are going to be doing the pregame shows
together. I have a rumor that Wiggy's Sunday on NFL Sunday now.
He is.
Is that the
you on NFL Sunday?
Wait, are we allowed to report that?
I don't know.
Oh, jeez. I was just kidding.
We just kind of did.
I don't know where I'm going.
Wiggy and I, yes, you will be, I've asked for your
So it's the two of you and Danielle. Doing
no,
Sunday morning
no,
NFL?
No, I think it's going to be Keith. Heard. I think hopefully Keith will be back.
Well, I heard it was Danielle. I heard breastfeeding.
Versatile. We could talk about breastfeeding in Love Island.
I'm down for breastfeeding talk. Yes. One of the
feet on the airplane?
I got to show these guys these breasts.
I have a great Tom Brady breastfeeding story.
Go ahead. Tell us. The floor is yours.
This is 5 o'clock hour?
Yep, yes,
the floor
it is.
Right is now. Yours.
Friday? 5 o'clock. Go ahead.
You remember when Mike Reese, did some article about just crazy stories, all the ex players, and I'm sure you have one, just stories that made him great, whatever. And he called me up, and I was on the phone for like an hour with Mike, and I told him this story, just and it was kind of I don't know if it was inappropriate, but it was odd. Maybe he didn't want to use he didn't want to use the word breast. In the story.
It's not Mikey Reese's.
Yeah, but I remember just as far as like how just down to earth and easy it is to get along with, even with strangers. I remember my son was breastfeeding, and my wife at the time, he just sat right next down to her, sat next to her, and just my son was just going to town. And he just sat there and he didn't flinch.
Sat there.
He didn't get freaked out about it or nothing. I remember going, this is when he's like 25.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, what are you doing? And then I was like, I guess it's like whatever. I guess it's just, this is weird.
You could have been trying to sneak a peek.
Right? So maybe I'm looking at it wrong.
You might be looking
maybe I had the wrong impression. He was trying to make a move.
I don't know, maybe make a move, but just sneak a peek.
So naive.
Hey, let me see. What's he getting into over there?
What kind of aerial is that?
So Mikey Reese didn't include that story. I remember that. He did not include it.
He left it out.
Did anybody else have the same impression when you watch Mike Reese alongside Christian Fourier?
Oh,
it's twins. It's Schwarzenegger
it's
and
like,
Danny DeVito.
No, it's like an Austin Powers.
I swear to God,
Mike Myers is his mini-me.
I looked at it, and all I could think of is the poster for that movie. the two of them.
I'm Master Blaster.
Mad Max.
Yeah, I just throw him on my back and I said, "Hold on, we're going to go running."
You still got me, Christian.
Well, let's go to Dan in Agawam. Hi, Dan. Hello, Dan. That's going well.
I'm here.
His jaw's on the floor right now.
I've got to take you off a speakerphone. Let me just say, first of all, I've called in a few times. It's just, for me, I am not bitching about Wiggy being on the show because I've never actually been able to talk to a player, somebody that's played at the highest level. So I just think that's cool for me. I'm just going to gush for a little bit. So I appreciate it, Wiggy, for some good moments.
There's three ex-players. Wiggy's not the only guy that
like
played
the first time
in
he's
the
called.
Pros.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's talked to Fourier.
The highest level. What's higher than pro football? Is it the God League?
There's Fourier's there, too. I wasn't done there.
What about Lou?
But...
The
main reason for the call is, I don't know if I'm in the minority for this one, but this whole Brady contract thing, the body language last night, it's ridiculous. I've kind of listened to you guys all day. I had the chance to do that when I'm today for the first time almost ever. And, Brady owes me nothing as a fan. If he wants to go somewhere after this year, if he decides to really do that and that really happens, he goes to, people keep bringing up Tennessee. If he wants to go there for a couple years, that's fine with me. It changes nothing for a legacy. This guy's had not one, but two Hall of Fame careers almost, you know, back to back with the same team. This never happens. This will never happen again. This level of success will never happen again. And there's not going to be a quarterback like him again. If he decides to go somewhere else for X amount of dollars because he wants to try it out, that is fine with me. Am I in the minority on this? Or
yes.
Am I, like,
you know
I,
what? You, know you what, are. Dan? You are absolutely
Dan,
in the minority.
I actually hope I see it. I hope it happens.
Well, see, I
hope what happens.
I
hope he plays for another team.
Why?
Because I want to watch the story.
What's wrong
unfold?
With both of you?
Well, I had asked this question earlier, right? Whose legacy does it tarnish the most if Brady goes to another team? Will it be Brady, Bill, or Kraft?
Here's the answer to the question.
Okay.
Tell me what happens the year after, the year after, the year after.
You can't ask a question
that.
With a question.
You could very easily do that.
No, you can't.
That.
I would say
yes,
just,
you can.
I would,
hold on. I'm talking to a guy who played at a high level.
Yes, right.
The player's
not
there in your chair.
The highest level.
Highest level.
Level.
You
sit there. There's no higher level. It doesn't get any higher than this.
So if somebody comes in, let's say Garoppolo gets cut by the 49ers, which I think is a distinct possibility this year.
Yeah, so that means he didn't play very well.
Right. So he gets cut, and he comes here, and he flourishes. And the team continues to win, and Belichick continues to build on this defense, and they continue to win. And Brady is struggling. It won't change his legacy. He'll still be the greatest of all time.
Here's how you have to look at it objectively. And to me, I think that it looks bad on one person and, you know, one person only, and that would be the Kraft family, Robert Kraft or Jonathan Kraft. Because you have to figure, this is what you have to look at. The likelihood of Brady not playing very well this year, it's very slim, right? Even if Brady goes out and has a year that he had last year, they're still going to be right back in the AFC Championship. So you are now letting a guy walk that has gotten you to the AFC Championship, potentially. That's what we feel this team's going to do. And he's going to go elsewhere. If he goes to Tennessee, what team is likely to have a better year? The Tennessee Titans next year with Tom Brady as a quarterback or the New England Patriots?
Yeah, but see, what you're doing is you're doing the same thing that he accused me of. Answering a question. You're throwing a question out there.
You're asking a question.
And
you're
changing
it with another question.
That's right. But
I think it's real simple.
But you're changing
the
parameters.
Right. Just listen, don't add a scenario to his question, okay? Because we can all do that.
Right.
But I understand your question. Okay, so it's not Bill.
Nope.
Okay, and it's not going to be Tom.
Nope.
I think it's going to be the Kraft family.
That legacy.
But when you said that, I was like, okay, so give me, what did the 49ers look like, Eddie DeBartolo and the 49ers look like when Joe Montana left to play at Kansas City?
Well, they traded him over there because they knew they had
something.
Okay, so what about Brett Favre?
Brett Favre, they drafted Aaron Rodgers.
And they had him sitting around for 3 years.
It doesn't matter. They still got rid of him.
That's a big difference.
No, they still got rid of him. And they could have kept him. They could have let him retire.
You know, you were playing at that time. Every year with Brett Favre, I was in Minnesota, it was like, oh, he's going to retire. Is this the year he retires? So they had been making contingency plans.
But they still decided to let him go.
Right, but I think they had Aaron Rodgers in the waiting, right? If the Pats let Tom Brady walk after this year, they have no Aaron Rodgers. They have no Steve Young. The only person this is going to be a stain on their legacy is going to be Robert Kraft and the Kraft family, because you are now letting a guy go that you know. And the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, like, that means he would play poorly in San Francisco if they were going to cut him.
Correct. So, I think that's a possibility.
Right.
Because they have only $4 million of dead money.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say he struggles this year, and Mullins gets an opportunity to play a little bit. And Mullins is okay, but he's only as good as Garoppolo. Mullins going forward is costing them nothing, okay?
Right.
They may decide to do that.
Right, so you would be then letting a guy go that potentially has probably gotten to the AFC Championship and Tom Brady, and bringing a guy in that just got cut from another team.
Correct.
That's not a good look for you, because it's not like.
Well, but again, you keep on talking about looks. The looks are irrelevant.
Well, I'm saying your legacy.
What happens in the year after that? Now, you already added to your premise that he was going to thrive in Tennessee. What if he goes to Tennessee and he doesn't?
I would bet that he would.
Okay, but what if he doesn't? So when you talk about the legacy, it's all going to be based on what transpires in 2020 and 2021.
Because even if he goes to Tennessee and he doesn't play well, what do you think the first thing people around here are going to say? Oh, that's because they don't know what to do over there. The Tennessee, they didn't have the good team around them. The Patriots are always going to suffer. So the legacy is still going to be ruined, even if he doesn't perform well in Tennessee, because people are not going to blame Brady for the performance.
Can I throw this in? Because teams could be hurt. people could be bent out of shape. This last guy, I think, is in the minority when he says he's going to be good with it. I don't think most fans will be good with it. Can we put the legacy thing aside?
Well, that's why I don't. Hold on, but that's why I don't think Kraft will ever let Tom leave, because he knows it will ruin Kraft's legacy.
Okay, I'm not sure it will. First of all, he's won more championships than any owner, right? Tied. And you look at it's not going to change Belichick's legacy. It's not going to change Brady's legacy.
In the end, everyone will forget about it.
Exactly.
And it'll be a footnote at best.
I'll give you another one. If Brady leaves and he goes to Tennessee, within 3 or 4 years after that, he'll be back for some celebration here, and everybody will love each other again. They'll be hugging and love each other.
Fans will look at the Krafts. This will ruin their legacy forever because the fans will look at it and go, how did you not get a deal done for a guy that still had a few years left in the gas tank, and you allowed him to walk because you weren't willing to pay him whatever it might have been? So who knows what you would have been able to add to your legacy?
If anything, what they'll probably do is somebody will come up with a story in which they think Belichick was the reason behind it. Belichick wanted him out.
It'll always go back to Kraft
Belichick has the control over Kraft.
Yeah, but Kraft
because Belichick's
going to
hang around here for another 5 years.
But you know why Kraft has the final say? The same way they all pinned it on Kraft to say, oh, Bill wanted Garoppolo, but guess what? Kraft shipped him out of here because Tom didn't want him. So at the end of the day, it only is going to look bad on Kraft.
See, the other thing is that if there is, they're going to protect themselves. That's their doomsday scenario. So they need a shelter. They need a player, somebody that will at least get them through that gap year without him until they find. Maybe it's a free agent guy. Maybe it's a guy that they trade for. Who knows who it'll be? You know, just looking back at. So you were right with Brett Favre. They had Aaron Rodgers, but do you remember that Brett Favre and the Green Bay Packers back in, 2007, where they finished 13-3 and lost to the Giants in overtime in the NFC Conference Championship. And the Giants obviously ended up beating the Patriots. Mm-hmm. So think about that. They'd walk from him.
Right.
And Aaron Rodgers, I guess they had an idea, but eventually his contract had whittled down. He'd gotten older, and they just forced the issue because, realistically, he still had a lot of – were you with him when Brett Favre was in Minnesota?
No, I wasn't in Minnesota.
So he ended up losing on the last play.
In the NFC Championship.
Through an interception again. So it wasn't like he was done.
Yeah, Wiggy was in Minnesota when they had the boat cruise.
It's international waters.
Let's go to Dennis in East Boston.
I got a great idea.
We're big in Eastie
today. We're
going
to rent a boat.
Notice that we're big in Eastie. We never get calls from Eastie. We do today. Go ahead, Dennis.
Well, you know, Wiggy's in. What can I say? I got to make him feel at home. And listen, I know he's the only guy there who's been at the professional level.
The highest level.
I'm aware of that. So, Wiggy, I'm going to ask you, since it's only you. Do you guys really think that, I mean, you know Bill. Do you really think he wants to get rid of Tom? He knows more about football than anyone who's ever lived. Don't you think he knows what he has, even at this age?
I don't think he wants to get rid of Tom, but I think he does say, okay, we're not going to pay him. We just got to be careful. I think he's preparing for, I don't want to get rid of Tom, but I'm not paying Tom $30-plus million.
You know what I think it is? Of course he doesn't want to get rid of Tom, but he also doesn't want to get caught.
He
didn't play on the highest level.
Yeah.
He played on a high level.
Korea?
Yeah. Korea, that's close enough. Yeah.
It's a high level.
No, it's my son. So I think that it's less about, because why would he want him to leave? But I don't think Bill wants to be caught with his pants down.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay, so you're telling me, I'm reading the tea leaves, everything's not going the way I want. I got to be prepared, because Bill's not going anywhere.
But why
Why
wouldn't he use one of those two first round draft picks or one of those two, or was it two or three second round draft picks that he had this year, maybe to just get him that potential contingency plan quarterback for Brady?
Because Brady was still in the contract.
And he didn't think any one of those guys are the answer. That's got to be it. Why wouldn't he do it? Because you're right. He's got all of these draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't he bunch of them together, move up and line? But I think he's right. He doesn't want to be caught with his pants down.
I agree
He never has.
Right, that
so
I agree
he's
with.
Looking at it, and 2 years ago, he's looking at it. Does he want to keep Jimmy Garoppolo around? Yeah, you know why? Because Tom Brady is on the other side of 40, and you're looking at it saying, I'm looking at history. Bill is a believer in history. Where are the guys over 40 that produce at a high level, the highest level. Okay, they don't. This guy is defying all of the odds.
And see, that's why
that's why it's a mess.
Right, but I don't. But that also tells me that's why it'll continue down the way it's going, and Brady won't end up somewhere else, because I think Bill knows now, okay.
I agree. Hey,
I don't want to get – Bill and Kraftko, we don't want to get caught with our pants down, Tom, but here's what we want to do. We don't want you going nowhere else. We'll give you the little bit of flexibility you want to take the franchise tag out of there. But at the end of the day, let's get something done before the last day of the league.
If I hear one more person in the media sit there and say, when has a quarterback ever, at the highest level now, these great quarterbacks, ever been in a situation like this, excuse me, where the team is allowing him to go into the last year? And I answered that by saying, when have you ever had a quarterback playing at the highest level who was 42 that next year is going to be 43
right.
going into that free agency year?
You've never even had a player in any spot be in the position that we see
Correct.
With Tom Brady.
So we're doing something that has never happened before. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to protect their ass so that they don't get saddled with $60 million,
right.
$30 million
but
of dead
cap money. But
that's
why I still think that's why, at the end of the day, I think we're all in agreement that
No, we're not. I think a lot of people think there's a good chance he's going to leave. I'm with you. Do I think he's pissed? Probably.
Yeah.
Yes. And he's saying stuff. But does that necessarily mean he's going to take action on it? And at the end of the year, he's going to sit there and say, remember when I was pissing and moaning at the beginning of the season about
right.
the Patriots and about Kraft and about Belichick? Yeah, screw them. I'm going to leave now.
I'm going to Tennessee.
I don't buy
it. Yeah, I don't buy
it. By that time, I think they settle down. Everybody is looking at it much differently. Now, if he sucks this year, all bets are off.
He'd have to really suck, though.
All bets are off at that point, because I think they would move on. Here's Mark in a car next up here on OMF.
How are we doing, gentlemen?
Good, Mark.
So Antonio Brown is threatening to retire if they won't let him change his helmet, or keep his helmet, rather.
That's correct.
So is that not the best possible solution for the Raiders right now, based on his behavior and the money they're paying him? I mean, is John Gruden not going to bed praying that this happens?
What, that he can't play?
No.
Yeah, John Gruden doesn't want that.
He wants him to play.
Did you see Hard Knocks? Did you see Gruden talking to Derek Carr saying, hey, you like this offense?
Right.
Yeah, how you like this offense?
Right.
They changed the offense so they could throw the ball deep downfield and utilize Antonio
right.
Brown specifically.
Hey, what you think of this guy we got here, huh? He makes everybody bad.
Yeah. This guy's really fast, huh? Why banana?
Hey, the defense got to play better because they don't want to get embarrassed. The other wide receivers, they know they want to keep up with him. What do you think about that, Derek?
I take it back. Hard Knocks is going to be good from here on in. Though, you know what? They kind of eliminated Antonio Brown. They had very little on Antonio Brown. If they try to do that again,
something.
But if they try to do that again in week two, because he's apparently in week two, he's not going to be around, right? He's taken off to get a second opinion on his feet, and all this other crap popped up. But they've got to have the guys talking about this,
here's
right?
The thing.
He's arguably the best wide receiver in the game.
Yes,
and he's
you can make that argument.
He's factually, I guess that doesn't necessarily make sense, but it doesn't. I'm gonna run with it. The dumbest wide receiver in the league, because we talked about this whole cryo chamber that he went into.
Yes,
the guy's done it before.
Right,
he knows how it works.
You got to wear scuba shoes and gloves.
Yeah, you got to like double up and make sure you don't get frostbite. And what does he do?
What would Belichick's reaction?
So why is that? I mean, he did it in Europe. Right. It wasn't like he was in L.A. or right. wherever.
But you should
still.
Know, it's not like it's his first time.
Oh, this is a European model.
Right. Belichick would have been like, God damn it, Antonio. What is a cryo? Why can't you just get in a cold tub like everybody else?
I mean, come on, fellas.
Come on, Antonio.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, you can't just get in the cold tub like Christian and everybody. You gotta get. What is this cryo bleeping machine, anyways?
I didn't take it and I moved back.
God damn it! I don't understand it.
What do you think Belichick would be like if one of those players on the first day of camp showed up in a hot air balloon, landed on the heliport?
God
Fox
damn
Brown?
It!
All
what?
Of them do that now. Even Jalen Ramsey showed up at camp in a Brinks truck.
What
it's
is
so
this
stupid.
Damn balloon you're showing up?
I wish they would. Please, somebody do it.
Let's go to Joel in Andover.
Do you not have a car like everybody else?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Joel?
What's up?
So I'd be okay if Brady left, but I got the perfect scenario. Brady decides he's leaving. The Rams picking him up. The Patriots pick up Garoppolo, and they meet in the Super Bowl. You know, what do you guys
fantasy,
thought?
I love right. these perfect who's, fantasy who's, scenarios.
Whose legacy will be tarnished? The loser or the winner, or does Tom win no matter what?
Here's the thing. When it really comes down to it, when Brady's getting his gold jacket and Bill and Kraft, they're all going to get gold jackets. Is anyone even going to give a crap?
No.
How it end?
No.
When Joe Montana was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, did anyone mention Kansas City?
They would only give a crap if they let Tom walk away, and we know he's still got gas left in the tank, and he went somewhere else, and that team won a Super Bowl, and the Patriots stunk. But what is this thing with, like, why do people think that Garoppolo's coming back?
Talk to your boy right here.
If he's in San Francisco and they ultimately move on from him, then that means he played bad. That means he can't play in the
system.
Correct.
It's a bad system. Shanahan, John Lynch, they don't know what they're doing.
Hold on.
So it's reverse.
It's reverse. Yeah, so it only works for the Patriots.
Yeah, it's only the Patriots. So now he's not.
It's a prediction. It's a prediction
system
I made.
Guy, but only if it's the Patriots. Yeah.
Prediction I made the day he left or the day he signed with San Francisco. No. I think there's a possibility because it's somebody that Belichick is familiar with. He's going to look at it and he said, Kyle Shanahan screwed them all up.
I got affected by the life. I can deal with him. We can make him what he should be.
I think that's that possibility. And you're right. He's damaged goods to the rest of the league because the league's sitting there saying he sucked. The first five games were terrific. Then he gets hurt all the time.
Right.
And then he's become a mess.
So basically,
I'm just saying it's a possibility.
So that theory is you let a guy go, which is Tom Brady, who's probably still going to be a top 10 quarterback in the league after this year, right?
But we don't know that.
But let's just play the game.
Okay.
Based on his performance
this
of what
we've seen. Wiggy's game we're playing.
No. Based on what we've seen, right?
Okay, hold on. Start the game over.
Antonio Brown wants the rules. No rules. Barring Tom Brady doesn't have a significant injury, do we expect he's going to be a top 10 quarterback?
Brady?
Yes.
Easily.
Yes. Okay. So at the end of this year, Brady's a top 10 quarterback who they say, you know what? We don't mind if he walks away. Right. But what we will do is we'll take a guy that flamed out in San Francisco.
No. So I'm not doing that.
What are you doing?
Now that you
he doesn't like
prep,
your game.
I don't like your game. I hate your game.
He's basically taking his ball and going home. Right.
Where's my freaking
buzzer? Or he wants to change the game.
Where's my freaking buzzer? I want my buzzer.
Ordway's the guy when you're playing a game. He's losing. He changes the rule. The game's always under protest.
I like this.
He doesn't like the ending.
So when do we get Garoppolo back? So if it's not next year.
So if you're under your premise, if he's top 10 quarterback.
Yes.
And he has a good year this year. The Patriots are going to bring him back. And what they're going to do is they're going to go back to the void contract game. They're going to give him $30 million next year. Okay? $30 million. And they're going to play the same void game, and they're going to go from year to year. Okay. Now, the question is, does Brady take that, or does Brady sit there and say, no, I'm demanding 2 years guaranteed because I want to play until I'm 35.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to Tennessee to play for the 8-8 Titans for Mike Vrabel.
Okay.
And they're going to give me a 3-year deal. I do not believe that Brady will leave under those circumstances. Do not buy it one bit. Okay?
Uh-huh.
How's that for your game?
Is that how your game
is? Is that your game? There's your game.
So Brady's the quarterback then next year.
Yeah.
All right. So then the whole Garoppolo coming back
you
stuff.
You missed the premise. The premise was if he sucks this year or his body breaks down. Is your body? How old are you now?
I'm 44.
How's your body?
My body felt like it did yesterday. Very, very poor.
So you're 2 years older than Brady right now and you're falling apart.
Well, I don't I'm not on the TV 12.
Suppose he falls apart. This year, body falls apart.
But here's the game that he's playing is like it's.
I'm actually going to sit both games out.
He's playing a fictional game because what is the likelihood that Tom Brady's body breaks down this year, barring no crazy injury?
It's not going to.
But a crazy injury is how it happens.
So you get hit. All right, so
if Tom Brady has a sack, the shoulder hurts.
We would call that like the Trump card.
Yeah, that is the Trump card. That's a Trump card in the game.
How about your back from carrying that offense with the?
It doesn't matter though. Even if it doesn't matter, because you're basing your game on the Captain Obvious Trump card that if there's a significant injury. But I'm saying take that away. If he's out there on the field and he doesn't get hurt at the end of the year, there's probably a really really good chance that he had a pretty good year. And he's not going anywhere.
But we're speaking the same language. The only way I think he's gone. Is if the New England Patriots say, he's breaking down on us, guys. This is unbelievable.
But that's not happening.
What is Guerrero doing to this dude? He is falling apart. If that does happen, then the Patriots are going to look at it differently. And well, then, yeah, and then that's the one Glenn, place what, he would
but,
leave.
Yeah, but of course they would look. But what's the likelihood that he breaks down without suffering a major neck see, injury now, or something like that?
See, now we're playing double jeopardy. Now you're moving the game onto a different level.
Here. I'm keeping the game the way it is.
Simple.
Simple, yes. You're the one who's saying, oh, well, he breaks down.
He like, makes everything so complicated.
Oh, I know.
It's a
real
simple question.
Can I just tell you?
You're not Chris Gasper. Hold on. You are no Chris Gasper.
Can I,
he's
I love 40,
this. He's 42. A
couple of guys that played sports, they played with those old helmets when your brain got splattered. You
but
know,
even,
regular
even, even Christian played too. How old you played him?
And they're sitting there, and they're sitting there bitching that I'm too complicated.
No. So Christian played too. He's 37. Was the breakdown from 36 to 37, was it like that significant from your body? Like, so you're talking about Tom Brady from 42 to 43. It's not like he's going to break down that significantly.
Uncharted waters.
And the only way it does,
words, we don't
the
know.
Only way you do have a significant drop is if you just stop caring and you stop stretching,
or
you start working out.
Or some random, you blow your Achilles out, which you can't control.
Or you have some nagging injury. Correct. Like, I would say with Peyton Manning, we keep using him as a reference because he was having a Hall of Fame, an MVP season, got hit in the quad,
right,
and he just couldn't walk.
But that's,
Osweiler took his job.
That's how it usually ends, guys. So if he blows out his knee, Achilles or something like that, that's it.
Well, yeah.
You're not bringing him back.
Okay. Because
he's going to sit out for a year.
So in your game, I agree with you on that one.
Then you get Garoppolo.
So who won the game?
Wiggy always wins. He's one of those.
The rules of Wiggy's game?
His game.
Wiggy always wins.
Antonio Brown would love his games.
Hey, you guys want to play?
He would love his games. Here's Kirk up in Maine, next up here in EEI. Kirk.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We still have a guy named Kirk here.
Hey, I was just thinking, you know, talking about Glenn's example about Tom Brady going to Tennessee and going 8-8. For years we've been hearing, is it Brady, is it Belichick? How long before... after is that Brady goes to Tennessee and goes 8-8 before we hear dopes like Kellerman, Sharp, and Rob Parker saying, see, he was a system quarterback. It was actually Belichick all the time.
Yeah, you'd hear that from those guys.
Can you tell me the quarterback that has not looked great in New England's system?
If Brady goes to Tennessee, Tennessee probably goes 12-4, and the Patriots go 8-8 or 7-9.
Here's the thing. I just want to. I haven't heard that sound from Shannon Sharp. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there going, okay, can you name me a quarterback who has not played great in the Patriots system? Well, who's played in the Patriots system? Matt Castle.
Right.
Jacoby Brissett.
And Garoppolo.
And Garoppolo for a game and a half.
Yes.
And I tell you what, if he started three more games, they would have ended up figuring him out, and it wouldn't have been that easy.
I agree.
No one ever got to find out. Everybody else, preseason, they look
but
like Stidham.
Shannon should know better. Like, every quarterback plays in a system. I mean, like, every quarterback is a system quarterback.
I think this is unfair.
It's just how good you do with that system. I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers plays in a system that he's done pretty well with. Same with Drew Brees. I don't buy, like, it's the system. I've been in a ton of systems. And as a tight end, if you go out there and you perform well, it's not about the system. It's about you, the player.
But well, the plays they draw up specifically for you.
Tom Brady is the system.
Thank you.
But for some reason, Brady is separated because he doesn't have great running ability or any running ability, okay? So they don't look at him as this great athlete, which I think is dumb. But they don't. And every team, you're right. Patrick Mahomes plays under a system. A lot of motion, right? Mm-hmm. He plays under a system. They all do. And the system usually is developed by the coach based on what? The skill set of your quarterback.
Generally, the reason why, it's because of the coach who's wearing the headset.
Correct.
And Bill Belichick is arguably the greatest coach.
Highest level.
Higher than you.
And to Shannon Sharp, the coaching does have something to do with it.
Yeah, because
they've been
hard
in the same system. Everybody knows what they're doing. It's easy to, you know, develop these players easier at a high level.
Coach Belichick, keep it 100.
Keep it 100. God.
Well, but I would ask this another question, and it's not a game, but it's just a question.
Oh, sick of the freaking games.
If Brady went to Tennessee and whoever the quarterback was for the Patriots, which team do you think would go further and be the better team? Because it's always asked about Bill and Tom and this, that, and the other. I think that if Brady went to Tennessee, the Titans would instantly be a better team, and they would go further than the...
So you also believe that Mike Vrabel's a hell of a coach then, because that's part of it.
Well, I think he's a very good coach, but I think when you look at the quarterback that you're now going to put on that team... he's the guy that will get you over the hump to make you a contender. When you look at where the Patriots would be, who's the guy that they slide in at quarterback?
to get you.
It's going
to
be somebody. No, it'll be it'll be either a free agent, a backup. Because that's what it'll be.
Or Stidham, right? So,
or Stidham, if he's ready.
But you know how everybody throws the question out, Brady Bill. And that's why I'd always said if I had to only choose for one, I would choose Tom.
So if the Patriots go 13-3 this year, and you look at it next year, and Tennessee takes a step back, which I think they're going to this year, and go, let's say, 8-8.
Okay.
All right? Then you're looking at it, the quarterback shift on those two teams, on a 13-win team and on an 8-win team.
Yes.
You're probably right.
They would flip. Yeah, so that's why, you know, and everybody goes, well, Tom, who would you one with the other? And that's why I've always said it. I think Bill is a great coach, and I think they go hand in hand. But if I could only choose one, it would be the quarterback.
Why can't they find a permanent spot for him? He brings games.
When you have a party... You know, he never comes empty-handed.
Maybe somebody should stop bringing games to the Greg Hill show.
That's not working so far.
You know, why don't you do that?
So are you done? Are you done there? I don't know. Are you on for 1 or 2 days a week?
I have no
idea. Because now I hear Fitzy back.
Yeah.
So they tried you out for like two days. They gave you a two-day tryout?
It was the highest ratings that they had since they started.
You don't know that. You're making that up.
No, I know.
You're making that up.
They've been on the air like a week and a half.
We don't get ratings overnight. What are you talking about?
We get ratings.
Where do you get them from, Easty? What do you get? Your own system?
He's got guys calling. Yo, that was a highly rated show.
There you go.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Back here on OMF, I mentioned in the trending that John Morosi, the Major League Baseball Network insider, has got a story out there. Now, matter of fact, here's his own voice.
I was told by sources today that there's a belief in the industry. Now, this is not coming from the Red Sox, but they believe at this point in time that the Red Sox will at least listen, yes, listen, to trade offers for Mookie in the winter. Now, while that may sound absurd, here's the reasoning. You think about the Red Sox pitching staff. Porcello has struggled. Price is on the injured list right now. We've seen Sale have, objectively, the worst year of his career. And if the Red Sox believe that their pitching is simply not good enough looking forward to be able to compete against the Yankees, against the Rays, they may have to make the very dramatic decision if they don't want to extend their payroll further, which, by the way, they're already spending the most money in baseball this year, that one of their best ways to get young pitching in would be potentially, yes, to put Mookie on the trade market this winter. Not to say there's going to be a deal, but I believe, Mike, from what I've been told by sources today, that there's a pretty strong belief at least Mookie will be available. And one team I'll mention, the Atlanta Braves. They've got so much great young pitching. They also have a great young outfielder, Christian Pache, at the top end of the minor leagues. If the Red Sox could get Ian Anderson and Christian Pache, again, they're just prospect names right now, but I believe the Red Sox would have to at least consider it, especially because you think about the Braves' perspective. Mookie's from Nashville. That might be one place where the long-term extension could fit very nicely with Mookie from a geographic standpoint.
All right, that's John Morosi. Not only is it not ridiculous, I think it's obvious. The guy's going to free agency. He's pretty much told you that. They've already, according to John Heyman, tried to offer him a deal for, $200 million in this offseason. He's going free agency. If you're the Red Sox and you look at your roster and you look at where your pitching staff is right now, and you've got holes you got to fill here in the next couple years, it's obvious to me that you can't keep Mookie Betts around here. You can't take the gamble that he goes to free agency, and he's going to end up selecting the Boston Red Sox in free agency after he's got other suitors who are making offers at him. You can't do that.
But isn't it stupid of them to now have this leak out? If you were going to do this, you would have got more for him before the trade deadline.
Well, I don't think leaking out has anything to do with this.
Whatever.
Industry sources are saying it because it's obvious. Okay. If you're looking at Major League Baseball and you're looking at the Red Sox, how the Red Sox fix their problems.
So why not do it before the trade deadline?
That's when you're going to get the most you could have got for Mookie.
No, you'll get as much in the offseason. With a year left, maybe.
You would have got more, though, before the deadline to maybe a potential team that
I heard you say this, and I understand what you're saying, but I think it's very difficult when you get to the trading deadline to take the MVP from the previous season and deal him away. You're apprehensive about doing it because you're still in the pennant race, okay? And you're basically telling your fans, we're going for the future, guys. Screw this. Well, which Dombrowski pretty much did.
And also, based on the history in the town so far as Kyrie, you thinking that Kyrie's going to re-sign, he bails. You can't really.
I still think he's coming back.
You do, eventually? Yeah, so I don't even know if Mookie says, listen, he wants to come back. He loves it here. He's saying all the right things. To me, this is just common sense. Why would you not? Right, who cares if you know it? Who cares if he knows it?
But you know that Mookie wasn't coming back. We kind of knew that because we've never seen guys hit the free agent market and then re-sign with their team. Most big stuff, the top caliber players like that hit free agent market and go somewhere else. And there's no way you could sit here and try to get me to believe that you are not talking with Mookie Betts' agent right now and prior to the deadline and know that, hey, guys, Mookie wants to test the free agent water. So there's a really good chance we're going to lose him. So if you're the Red Sox and you know that you might have to replenish the farm system, who knows, maybe you can even pick up an arm to help you out for this year. Why not move on from
Mookie? Because I think it's a very difficult deal to do. Okay, it is. When you're trading away a big star, you're asking for that big star. Mm-hmm. You want an awful lot in return.
Yes.
So where are you going? What team are you going with? There are a lot of teams that still think they have a chance to win this thing right now, and so they might be interested in doing it.
But that would have been perfect for you.
And if let's just think about the way things are set up right now. So if the only guy they lose is Mookie Betts, how badly positioned are they as far as just their lineup? They're in a great position. I would say, Benintendi, JD, Xander, Devers. I mean, they still got a bunch of guys.
Well, wait a minute. If anybody thinks they have to blow this entire thing up in the offseason, they're crazy. They have to retool. There's no question about it. And they made a major mistake, I think, by trying to bring everybody back except for the two guys at the end of the bullpen.
We did get Cashner already. So how's that working out for you?
Yeah. But yeah. If you can get an awful lot still for Mookie Betts,
and still be competitive.
Right, especially if Morosi, the way he's phrasing it, if you get him to a team in which that team feels pretty confident that they can go and re-sign him. I got to believe the Red Sox already deep down inside have a feeling that they know that Mookie Betts does not want to be here long term.
Of course.
I got to believe
because
that.
Because there's no doubt in my mind as a guy who played professionally and knows how
the highest level. Highest level.
Higher than Christian. Only played at the highest high level.
Arena league.
Sell yourself short there, Wiggy.
Well, but Christian knows your agent is always talking to the team and saying, all right, hey, what are we thinking about after the season? What are we thinking about this? Here's what we think his market might be. So there's no way you could sit here and say that the Red Sox and Mookie Betts' agent haven't talked about potentially something. And either the agent goes, hey, listen, our guy's going to hit the free agent market. We want to test the waters. So the Red Sox should know that. And they should have did something like I said, my opinion was doing something before the trade deadline. Dombrowski already said, hey, if we were closer to first place, we might have made some moves. So you don't think that you can win. So why not ship the guy out, get as much as you can, and then who knows? Maybe you can get an arm that can help you and you still can be competitive.
All right, let me get back to the phone calls. People want to talk about the Patriots. And here's Andrew in Haverhill. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm curious about the two football guys' take on this. So, when I'm looking at preseason, I don't, take a huge stock into it, but sometimes when I see, specific plays, I get really impressed. There was one play with Stidham. I think it was in the beginning of the third quarter. It was like a 1st and 10, and he had a rusher coming up right in his face, and he waited for Berrios' route to fully develop right before he was about to get hit. He released the ball after Berrios' route was fully where he was fully open. Like I said, threw it right before he was about to get hit, and that was a play where I was okay, that's good. That's even in a preseason game. That's one of those things that you see. I'm like, all right, that was pretty damn impressive, even in, like we said, a preseason game.
I will say this. As far as just his makeup, Okay, you don't get scholarships to Baylor, and we're talking about Baylor back when Art Briles was there. This is before he got kicked out of
there. You're really throwing the ball.
You can can chuck it. You can throw it downfield because Baylor had nothing but fast, speedy wide receivers. They threw it down the field all the time. And then you go to the SEC, and then you go to Auburn, and in 2017 you have a great year. And then 2018, everybody's like, "What the hell happened?
Right.
You're supposed to kind of, you know, compete against Alabama." Yeah, we were like, "Wow, Auburn's got a quarterback since the first guy since Cam Newton."
Wiggy, have you?
Wait a second.
He's moving
on.
Chris moving to the highest level.
Yes. You know what? I'm just going to defer. He basically was like, "Okay, you're rambling. Go."
Oh, you hung up on that guy. Why did you hang up on that guy?
You know what? Screw you.
Hung up on
Chris,
that guy.
I was getting ready for him to drop a Gus Malzahn there, and they didn't really know if this guy was coming back. And when you look at Stidham as a guy who could throw the football all over the place, and yeah, he shows that he's not afraid to sit in the pocket and take the big hit. But it's still preseason at the end of the day.
And you could determine nothing from last night's game because the Lions never had a pass rush in the entire game. Matter of fact, when he was chasing...
If David Fales was... If they switched, if David Fales was now the backup to Brian Hoyer... And Stidham was the backup to Stafford or Savage. What do you think it would
look
like?
I'm not sure he would have done the same thing against that defense. Matter of fact,
Stidham's just a better quarterback.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Stidham last night, that was like heaven because he's been facing the Patriots defense every day in practice. He's probably sitting there going, "Oh, this is great. Nobody's taking." But even when they did put pressure on him, it was mainly because he was in the pocket holding the ball for 4 or 5 seconds. It wasn't like he made a quick read or... And that's going to change once you get to real game. That's why you need Tom Brady.
Passed,
not get carried away. You need Tom Brady to read defense.
He passed the first quiz of preseason.
That's it.
That's all he's did.
He can throw the football, and he's fairly accurate at throwing at the football. Here's Jeff in South Carolina. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Wiggs. What's going on?
Christian, too.
Guys. Yeah, I said Christian. I didn't leave him out. You know, one of the things that Tom Brady constantly says is how difficult it is to win a championship. And I know you guys all know it's hard to win. So why would he, at this stage of his career, go out and try to put himself in a situation where it's going to be extremely hard with a whole new staff, a whole new group of people? It doesn't make sense.
I agree with Jeff on that one. And I said that from day one. There's change, no way he wants to go. Even if he does know Vrabel and that kind of, they were teammates, he does not want to have to change. One of the most important things to him is winning, and he has a good situation here. Even though they might butt heads a little bit, he knows this is a good situation.
So he's pissed right now because he feels a little disrespected because he, in his mind, wants to play until he's 45. He doesn't know whether he can do it. Nobody does. The Patriots certainly don't want to gamble that he definitely is going to play 100% till he's 45. So he's a little pissed off right now. They work out, and he says, "Screw it. I'll take the one-year deal. You give me extra money, I'll prove it. I'll show you," right? So that's the perfect way of doing it.
Yeah, plenty of time.
And I think that you're right. So, you know, the other day we were talking about drama, motivation. This is the first year where there hasn't been any. And, they're kind of front runners. They've been every, you know, preseason this or that or, you know, fantasy league. It's like the Patriots winning the Super Bowl all over again, right? So, but there's been no offseason real controversy. To me, that's it. It's Brady once again. It's Brady once again being pissed off, being agitated, and forced to prove his worth again. Because I think that's the main thing that gets his fire going.
He's back to being the sixth round pick
wrong.
Again.
Yes, 100% at age 42.
Okay, so I get him being pissed right now. I understand it. I understand where the Patriots are coming from because doesn't it make sense? You don't want to get hit with all this dead cap money. So Brady's pissed. Brady's going to go out and he's going to use this motivation to have a great season, which, by the way, will benefit the Patriots. Mm-hmm. So if I'm the Pats and I'm Belichick, I'm sitting there going, "It's good that he's pissed. I like this. He's motivated. We're going to have a good season." And at the end of next year, somebody's got to convince me that because he's pissed right now, which we all are from time to time with your bosses and with your company, you tell me what the set of circumstances are that at the end of next year, Brady says, "Screw you, Bill. Screw you, Robert. No more kisses on the cheek. I'm not doing a European
only
kiss
one cheek.
And one cheek. I'm going to get up and go, and I'm going to go play for Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. It's the most ludicrous thing in the world.
Well, that's
he would have to suck this year or have a major injury in which the Patriots say, hey, we can't give you the $30
million. Right. But this is – I think this. That's when the rubber will really meet the road. Is you like
write that one down.
That
is some deep,
Jesus. Should use that on that Greg Hill show. That will work for you.
February 7th. Through March 18th or whatever the last day of the league year is, because that's the time where they have to get a deal done before Brady becomes a free agent. And now if he does have a good year, Brady has the position to go, I want a 2-year extension. Here's what I want. Pay me my money, like in the movie Round.
Pay me my money, bitch.
Right, so in the movie, right, bitch. So that's where we now go. Do the Patriots go, well, wait a second. We got to give this guy, guarantee him $50 million. He says he wants to play for the next 2 years. Or do they run the risk of going, nope. And now Brady has to go, do I really want to walk away? Or do I want to take this amount that they've given me, which I know it's not what I want, to stay and play in a comfortable spot?
So they say to Tom, the deal we were talking about last year, those two voided years, 30 and 32 million.
Right.
We already gave you eight. We added eight to last year.
Right.
So if you add these 2 years up there, 35 million apiece. Okay. Who else is getting that type of money? So what we'll do is we'll give you the 35 million. We'll do voided deals. 30 million, 32. We'll do voided deals for the next 2 years until you 46 if you want. But they're going to be voided deals. But it's 1 year.
So basically, but that's where it's going to come. Does he want that? Will he take that? Because now
he's not going to leave.
He has the leverage.
He's not going to get up.
I don't think he's
going to
leave. I don't think he's going to leave. But you said that you think there's people out there that believe he might walk.
Yeah, and I think
he might not have a choice.
Yeah.
If he
breaks down this year, it's a different story.
I'm saying if he has a good
year. This is your game.
If he plays well.
Y'all are yelling and screaming in that control room.
Just ignore them.
What?
Why do you ever get worked up when people are yelling and screaming?
When one of my teammates asks for a favor, I usually like to oblige.
All right,
I'm like you, you're just selfish.
Yeah, I'm selfish.
I'm more like Brady.
One's Brady, one's Antonio Brown.
Yeah, you're Antonio Brown. I don't like my helmet. My head look fat.
I don't like this microphone.
It's your head that makes your head look fat.
I do not like this microphone.
What do you got for last call?
Last call's next.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
On Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show's been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best, you know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, the stretch they come.
Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule your free pickup at 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or carsforkids.com. Well, big fella, Monday... We get Bill Belichick.
That's right. Number 16.
Foxborough.
Should have a lot of insight.
Yeah, we got a lot of. We got a taste of it last night. Steve Burton doing his best at halftime with Bill.
Bill Belichick standing by with Steve Burton.
All right, guys, thank you very much. Joining me now is Patriot head coach Bill Belichick. I want to talk about how you guys have been able to spread the ball around in the first half. Good complimentary.
Yeah, we've got good protection, and we've had a lot of different guys make plays, so that's always a good thing.
Brian Hoyer. Talk about him a little bit. You sort of forgot him. I know you haven't forgotten him, but he's done well.
Yeah, we've moved the ball pretty well. You know, we had good field position after the interception. We had a couple long drives there. So, that's good. You know, hopefully we can be consistent.
All right, Coach, good luck to you in a second.
All right, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Good to see you, man.
Thank you.
It's like an uncomfortable root canal. And then right at the end, they're both smiling at each other. Thank you, Steve. No, thank you, Bill. No, thank you, Steve. No, thank you, Bill. Oh, we're out of the root canal. Everything's great again.
Talk about him a little bit.
Tom Brady. I mean, just talk about that.
It wasn't that bad.
It's good to see good situational football scoring at the end of the half anyway.
Yeah, about 38 seconds of good football.
If I'm Steve.
He had a lot to get going on.
If I'm Steve, I'm so happy. I'm like, check that one off. One's done. That's I got three left, and I'm Dunsky.
Unbelievable. I love
Didn't
it.
Didn't get tripped up that much. Didn't embarrass myself. Right. Got out of it alive.
My buddy Bill Walton. We've had Bill on the show before. One question. He goes on for, 12 minutes?
Easily.
12 minutes.
He's like the Chatham of NBA.
So he's out now on an inter...
Having the time of my life. Oh. I got to throw out the first pitch.
How was that?
I whiffed on the first one. I was never so embarrassed about it. I was good in warm-ups, but then I lost it, and I was a little stiff there waiting for the anthem and everything. But then my second chance, I got it over the plate, and then I got to see Bud Black, the manager of the Rockies, a great friend for ages. And then little Andy Green, who's younger than our children are. And it was just fantastic. And now we're in Suite 1 here, and we're on Fox Television. And what more could you ask for? The Padres are playing fantastic. Everybody's having the time of our lives. We are very proud. I got a new shirt. It's a little wet, a little sticky. We've been going. We've been jamming all day. But I'm just having so much fun here.
Is there anything you don't do? You play music. You do your basketball. Is there anything you don't do?
I don't do anything well. I don't know anything about anything, and I constantly mistake activity for achievement, but I try. And I'm super lucky. I'm the luckiest guy in the world to be born in San Diego, to have the parents I had, have my wife, our children, our grandchildren. And we're on an intergalactic stadium tour right now, and we're just playing on fire.
So he threw the first pitch out of the Padres game. Do you remember when Reamer was throwing the first pitch out and how bad that was?
That was pretty
This was worse.
Wow.
I will say worse this. So basically Reamer. What he does, all he does is he kind of just describes the room. You know, he just tells you what the obvious is, what your eyes can see. I'm sitting in a chair. I'm in a building. There's
a
computer screen in front of me.
Lights won't
stop buzzing. I have headphones on. The sun is out. I just saw a birdie. Oh, look, somebody's eating a hot dog. And he'll just sit there and go on and on and on and on.
So it's Grateful Dead night, and he's jamming at the
Padres. Did you see the pitch? Did you see his first pitch?
Yes, it was awful.
Was pathetic.
Worse than Reamer's.
He's a professional athlete. I don't care how old he is. I mean, it's 50 Cent worthy.
Wow,
I mean,
that's tall. He might not have been a baseball player.
No, he looked like a tall, skinny, white 50 Cent. When he threw the pitch, it went straight to the left. He didn't throw it. He kind of moved it down and pushed it down.
Yeah,
I was like, what are you doing? You're a professional athlete at the highest level.
So he's jamming here.
Grateful Dead. Are you a Grateful Dead cover band or tribute band?
I'd say cover band. We don't really try.
What are they?
We don't try this. We're a band beyond description. That's what we are.
That's right.
Yes.
So how would
and
you
to try to classify us, we do not live in the qualitative binary decision-making world where it's either or. We are
You're
everything.
Right. He just reels off whatever's on the
line. We are San Diegans, and we represent.
Let's be honest.
Do you think that he's living, he's the best version of himself? You think he's doing that whole line?
Yeah, he's like Richie Incognito.
Yeah, probably. He's Richie Incognito. Yeah. I'm just trying to be the best version of myself. I'm trying to live my best life.
He's high as a kite. I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, he's always. Hey, he's playing the bongos?
Yes.
I mean, really, do you really need
like
any musical?
Songs at the same time.
Do you really need any musical education to play the bongos?
Or the tambourine?
Zero.
It would help a little bit.
That's a triangle.
No, that's a tambourine. The bongos, it's a drum.
Oh, okay.
The tambourine's the thing you hold like this.
He's kind
of... Between your legs, right?
That's it, yeah. That's all you need.
I don't think you need much.
No. I mean, like the, you know, whatever, the tambourine is the same thing.
You know what?
Cowbell.
You know why?
Because I can keep beat.
Because no one really hears that. Because the other music is like...
overtakes it. So I think you can do it. No one really hears it.
Nobody gets it.
It's like a background singer. Like, you know how they have like four background singers?
One sucks.
Yeah, no one can tell.
All right, boys. That's going to be on the block. That's going to be a wrap for the Friday episode. Monday's episode of OMF. It's Bill Belichick, the first interview with Bill Belichick of the season. Wiggy's on Sunday. You want Sunday to Sunday?
Yeah, I believe so.
You believe so? He's got no idea what days he's on.
He just shows up.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Okay, Red Sox baseball next. Goodbye. Yeah.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.